are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen, and I am Michael Sterling, and I'm back. I missed you, Paul.
Yes, and I am Paul Strolley, and I'm glad to have you back.
Well, thank you.
We didn't have you last week because, as I mentioned, Suave and Debonair Expo 2012 was in town, so we lost you. You did your renowned lecture. Cufflinks. What happened? Yes,
exactly.
It was well received.
Was it?
Yeah. Hey, it's kind of a historic day for us.
It is indeed.
Yes.
That's right. It is indeed.
It is our 100th broadcast today. 100th broadcast.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
I never would have thunk that.
Yeah,
you know, when we started this two years ago. But
we have two wonderful guests to share with us.
Couldn't be nicer to have these folks on us.
But before we talk about that, let's thank our sponsors, Michael, shall we?
Absolutely. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar each and every week.
And you know, Paul.
Yes.
Very excited.
Yes.
He's joining us in studio today. The most affable barfly in television history. He co-starred as Norm Peterson on the iconic hit NBC series. George Wendt is in the house.
Yes, he's here.
Oh, stop, audience. Stop.
Stop already.
Well, if you don't like it, George, you shouldn't have brought him with you. That was a little heavy-handed.
You'll pardon the pun.
How are you?
Fresh as the daisy.
As they say, yeah. You certainly look fresh as a daisy.
Yep, dressed for radio.
Yeah. There you go. We love that.
And, well, we'll talk about your hands and your arms later. It's a little off-putting, and we'll talk about what we discovered. Michael and I were sort of dancing around the topic like, geez, what happened to the guy? Was there an injury or something?
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that. To the extent of which George wants to talk about it.
But I've got some explaining to do now.
Yes, well, we've teased that we've set you up. And in just a few minutes, we'll be speaking via telephone with the beautiful Barbara Bain.
Indeed.
Who too co-starred in another long-running iconic television series, Mission Impossible. And actually, I want to talk to her about it because I don't think she knows that we shared a dressing room for about 6 weeks. Not the actual dressing room itself, but the dressing room area, as it were.
I see.
And
that old story.
At the Edgemar Center, yes. Yeah. I was dressed like a priest for most of it, so
God forbid.
So she'll remember me that way. She's the tall guy with the beard.
You know what she and I have in common?
What's that?
Born on the same day.
Really?
Yeah, September 13th.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Write that down.
Yeah.
She's a lovely woman. Lovely woman. And we're going to call her.
I imagine she is. So
how was your week before we get to talking?
Thanks for asking. I'm in production with a new show that's getting ready to open this week. Annie, the musical.
Ah, yes.
America's favorite family musical, George, you know. I'm directing it at a beautiful theater here called the Glendale Center Theater. Theater in the Round, about 400 seats. And it's the culmination of 5 weeks of rehearsals, and looking forward to that. And also, I must tell you, though, the highlight of my week this past week, in addition to working...
Aside from seeing me.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. And working on Annie was that I covered the opening of Follies at the Amundsen Theater last Wednesday evening on behalf of another project that I do for Broadway World Television. And it was, I want to tell you, seriously... Aside from all the celebrities and the stars that I was interviewing, it was... Have you ever seen the show?
Have not.
Have not seen it. Paul?
No, I have not, but...
You know, I saw it on Broadway when it first opened in the early 1970s, and I was blown away by it then, but I must tell you, and I've seen maybe two or three productions of it since that time, last Wednesday was like seeing this show for the first time.
Really?
I have never really experienced a revival of a musical of this caliber, one of Sondheim's, surely one of his great works in theater, in my opinion at least, done to flawless perfection as it was, from the performances to the set, to the lighting, to the direction, to the orchestra. I have also never experienced a show getting multiple standing ovations during the performance.
Wow. Wow, that's
and about so truly about a 2.5 minute standing ovation at the end of the show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have it, like you said, when you've seen it, I mean, revivals are always up against the memory that people have of the original
exactly.
production, but especially the fact that you saw the original production and you
right.
feel that way.
Yeah, it was it's a lesson in good taste and class and remarkable theater that I think...
So I wouldn't care for it, then.
Oh,
that's what you're
no.
saying. That's what you're saying.
No,
is there any blood?
Huh?
Is there any blood?
No blood.
Oh,
no.
Oh, there could be. There whatever. Could be, though. Yeah, in my version. Yeah, yeah.
It's a little... yeah, it doesn't go quite there, but it is something that I think that especially people, young people who are in the theater who have not yet forged into the Sondheims of the world should probably go and see this. It's a remarkable lesson in great writing. And James Goldman, of course, you know, working with Mr. Sondheim, and wow, what a tremendous experience.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
I'll have to see it. I mean, you're just echoing everything that I've read about it so far.
Yes,
I mean, it's just
I'm
the
sure.
reviews have been phenomenal. And except for that one LA Weekly review said, needs blood. But aside from that, that was the only thing that I thought was... But the LA Weekly's like that. They got to have blood. They got to have blood.
There were some lovely people there, too. Who
oh, yeah?
It. Yeah, I have
oh.
Joanne Worley, Cloris Leachman, all these lovely ladies. Debbie Boone, who's an old friend of mine. Debbie
yeah.
was there. Matthew
we should
Morrison
have her on
from
the show.
Yeah, she's doing... Yeah, we are going to have her on the show soon. Yeah,
oh.
She's doing her Reflections of Rosemary, Rosemary Clooney.
Oh.
She's married to Rosemary's oldest, one of his, her younger sons, Gabriel.
Michael has an extensive history with Rosemary Clooney because she gave Michael his first job in the music business. He
That's
was
correct.
Her road manager?
Road manager,
That's
yeah.
Right. yeah.
And friend
yeah.
for all of her life
yeah.
and very, very, very smitten with her music and her mentoring that she gave to me through the years. I was,
yeah.
will always be grateful.
A great broad.
A great broad.
Just a great broad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
My
indeed.
Mother loved Rosemary Clooney. That's
Who
why
didn't,
I, my
right?
mother. That's why I said you immediately thought broad because that's a word Charlotte would use.
Charlotte
she
would use
She was
that.
A great broad.
Yeah.
Loved her.
You know, he did a role on Broadway that sounded a little bit like that.
What was that?
Edna Turnblad in Hairspray.
Oh, did you do know. Edna?
I did Edna.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Did you? How was that? Did you enjoy it?
It was a blast. Yeah.
yeah.
Really fun.
Who
I've
did
done
we had?
A
who
couple
did we,
of times since Broadway too.
Oh really? Who
yeah.
did we have on who was Edna recently? Oh, Jim J. Bullock.
Jim J. Bullock.
We had Jim J. Bullock
yeah.
on.
Jim, no, he was Wilbur. He was Edna as well.
No, he switched. He
not
ended
on,
up doing both of them.
Wow. But not on Broadway. He did
not on Broadway. No,
Wilbur.
He
on
was
Broadway.
My first Wilbur.
Right.
I've
and
had many Wilbers. I'm a slut.
Careful how you say that. Now.
We're saving that soundbite.
Jim J. did it in Denver. His first turn as Edna was in Denver last year, and then he did it again at Musical Theater West in Long Beach. Great CLO down there. That was his second, and from that appearance, got an 8-month gig on the cruise lines doing Hairspray as the star.
Wow.
So that's where he is on the high seas.
I didn't
right
know.
Now.
I didn't know you had pipes and that you were a singer.
No,
or...
I don't. I don't sing or dance, but I will do what I'm told. So they get me moving in a certain
I
way,
gotcha.
And I can do it like a good little soldier.
And you can sell it. You can
and,
sell.
And yeah, they yeah. tell me to hit this note, and I can't. And then they go, "It's Merman," and I go, "Oh, I can do that."
It's hilarious.
Gotta love the theater.
I tell you.
Got
I
to love
ya.
The theater. And we'll talk more about that, but perhaps we should call Miss Barbara
Bade,
do you think?
Let's call our first guest and see. I'd
yeah.
So we'll, am I, are you introducing her or am I, no, you
Well,
introduce
I'm talking
her.
About her as
you
you're
talk
as
about
you're
her while
yes.
I dial.
Yes.
And we'll get this whole thing. After 100 shows, we should
you
have
think
this
we
down.
Should have
shouldn't
this
we?
Down now, right?
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited because in just a few moments, we're going to be speaking with our first guest, who was a co-star on one of the most popular and creative espionage television series ever, Mission Impossible. Her character of secret agent Cinnamon Carter led her to television history when she became the first actress ever to win 3 consecutive Emmy Awards as Best Dramatic Actress.
That's something.
Please. Indeed.
Let's see. Well, let's see if she picks up the phone.
A little known fun fact.
Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of time talking to George, which will be fun.
Which will be lovely, yeah.
Exciting,
isn't
This would be, you want to just hum the Jeopardy theme?
Really? Every once in a while, something like this can happen. I'm going to give you an alternative number.
Okay.
Which would be the first one.
Which would be the
card.
First one on that? Yeah. Okay. We'll give them a listen. All right. So let's try another one, shall we?
We shall.
The magic of live radio.
Happens every once in a while.
Hmm? I know. I just have to get my keypad up here and make sure I have this right. Oh, no, it's not. All right. Let's try this again, shall we? All righty. Hang up there. My keypad. All right. Just the problem, what ends up happening is that it keeps dialing the same number when I go to bring the keypad up. So I'm trying to bring the keypad up, and it is not
happening.
It is not working. So I have to try to, I'll try this other number, and we'll see how that works.
All right.
This is force. All right. Well, maybe she'll call in. This.
Is that calling the same number again?
Hang on one second. I have to I'm going to try to get Ronan to give me a hand.
George and
this.
I will talk amongst ourselves, as they say. So let's talk a little bit more about Hairspray. Was that was your foray on Broadway, right? I know you did Elf the musical, but that was afterward.
Yeah.
Yes. Correct.
No, my Broadway debut was in Art.
Oh, in Art.
Yeah.
Yasmina Reza's Art.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was another fun one.
Oh, a wonderful, wonderful show. Paul actually saw that recently out here at the Pasadena Playhouse. They did a production of it with Brian D'Arcy, and I believe was in it, and a couple of wonderful people, and Paul said it was amazing.
Yeah. All right,
Michael
we're trying
O'Keefe,
this again.
I believe.
Yeah.
Michael O'Keefe.
Yes.
And,
yes, indeed.
Bradley Whitaker.
Okay. Hello. Yes.
Hello. This is State of the Arts, and we are looking for Miss Barbara Bain, if she is
available. Well, you found her, and I was just dialing your number because it got very confusing as to who was calling whom.
No, it was entirely my fault. I just noticed, Michael, that I got the number wrong.
Okay.
It was entirely
wrong. Well, here we are.
So I won't say how I glitched it because I don't want to give any numbers out over the air, but we've met.
Please.
We're together. And Barbara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Barbara, this is Michael Sterling. I am the co-host with Paul Strohle, who you're speaking with. And thank you, as Paul just said, for joining us. And we also have in studio Mr. George Wendt.
Is with us.
Oh, how neat.
Hi.
And Barbara, I don't know if you know this, but you and I actually are casual
what are we?
We're casual acquaintances because at the same time you were doing the show before you're doing now, you were doing Why We Have a Body over at the Edgemar, and I was in the production of Ghosts, and we shared
kidding.
Yeah, I was the tall guy with the beard dressed like a priest most of the time.
Oh, yes, of course. That's hysterical.
So,
and we kind of kept having almost to have a conversation.
Yes, yes. We almost had a conversation.
Pieces.
We had a conversation every time.
Mm.
Yeah. But we do want to talk about the current production that you're working on.
Yes.
So for our listeners, if you could give us a brief synopsis of that production.
Well, it's a really interesting group of short plays. It's called Love Struck. It's at the Beverly Hills Playhouse on Robertson. And we're only there 3 weekends. We've just had our opening weekend, next and the following, and that's it. But we're playing Friday, Saturday, and two Sundays. Two on Sunday, meaning a 3 o'clock matinee and a 7 o'clock evening performance. And they're really interesting short plays around the theme of love and covering all kinds of different aspects. I'm in two of them.
Okay.
And they're very, very different. And the response has been fantastic, so I'm having fun.
Are they individually, like, are they two-handers? Are the little...
The one I... The, one of mine has three of us, and one has two of us.
Oh, okay. And
so there's some wonderful actors.
Yes, I'm looking at them here. We have Peter Van Norden, Robert Miano, and Nick Ullett. We had him on the show, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
When he was doing Bakersfield Mist, we had him on.
With Jenny O'Hara.
Well, he's a wonderful, wonderful actor. Next weekend, Robert Miano is taking over for him because Nick had a previous commitment.
Oh, okay.
So I have a different guy up there with me.
Oh, so you're in? He's in one of your pairings.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's pretty neat. They've been very, very well received. They cover a wide range of subjects, some very talented people in it. that's really a pleasure to be with and working with. And in the other plays, in other words, just I've seen most of them. And they're really good. And they're fun. And the audience loves them.
No, it sounds, but it's they have to be fairly brief. I'm looking at the material here, and it says eight short plays in one evening.
That's right.
Wow. So they're like little vignettes and.
Yeah, but they're not sketch material. It's not sketch material. They're really well crafted, and they're really about something, and so there's some serious writing going on, and yet in a way that's easily received, you know.
Right.
They're not labored at all at that length.
Oh, sure.
Well, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You were in the show with Paul Sterling here, Ghost, and you jumped right into this.
She was in...
I'm sorry, not Ghost.
We shared a theater, but not a play.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So
that's right.
It was the same venue.
And a dressing room, darling.
And a dressing room.
But you jumped literally...
Don't leave that out.
Well, I didn't want to talk about that on the air, Barbara.
Well, never mind. People will get a little clue about how we work in this city.
But you jumped from one run into another, which is
yes, terrific. In fact, it actually overlapped. Because I was rehearsing this one while finishing that one.
Wow.
Yeah, the lovely Karen Black replaced her in the...
That's true. That's true. And, you know, I had... the reason for all of that was I had this commitment prior. And then they asked me to do that one. And I said, okay, only if I have a stop date, in essence, because they pushed this one back a week to wait for me.
Oh, okay.
So I was deliciously... being fought over.
Nice. Well, that must be because you're a Virgo like me. And you know what else?
Yes.
We were born on the same day, you and I.
What?
September 13th.
September.
Right.
Yeah,
you're kidding.
No.
Well, very different years, I'm sure, because mine was, believe it or not, a Friday the 13th.
Mine was a Monday.
See?
There you go.
You guys actually remember what day of the week?
7 o'clock.
Really?
No, I was told.
Oh, yeah.
I was told with a certain amount of chagrin, you know, and to watch out for the rest of my life or some such thing. But for me, it's been just fine. Thank you.
I was going to say.
And Barbara, you are from Chicago. Is that correct?
I am indeed.
Well, it's an all Chicago day.
That's
here,
right.
Because George is from Chicago as well. And well, I lived in Chicago, not from there. But we were.
I didn't know George was from Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
South Side. How about you?
Hmm.
Barbara?
That's pretty neat, yes.
George is from the South Side. Where are you from in the city?
Oh, South Side. Well, again, generationally, probably not, but yes, the South Side. I lived around the university.
Oh, okay.
Hyde Park, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But now, George, does that make you a Sox fan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Theoretically.
The few, the proud.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a brother who was a diehard Sox fan who finally did see them win a game, I think. You know, that wasn't sort of my thing at the time much.
I tell you, there are no, I mean, you can say what you want about New York, you can say what you want about Boston, but there are no more devout sports fans in the city of Chicago. Chicago will.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I didn't know.
No, very much so, very much so. So, Michael, would you tell the folks how people can see Barbara in this particular production?
Absolutely. It is in. It's on stage now, and it has just opened. It opened on May 11th, and it runs through May 27th, as Barbara said. Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the notable Beverly Hills Playhouse, 254 mm-hmm. South Robertson Boulevard in Beverly Hills. That's between Olympic and Wilshire Boulevards. Tickets are very affordable, ladies and gentlemen. $32 general admission, $25 seniors and students. Can't beat that. And group rates, of course, are available. And running time on the show is 120 minutes. And to get tickets, you simply call 323-960-7787, or you can go online at plays411.com/lovestruck.
That's
and purchase your ticket.
That's plays411.com/lovestruck. I'm sorry, Barbara, did I cut you off?
No, that was so well done. I'm just listening.
I tell you, doesn't he have cashmere vocal cords, that Michael Sterling?
They're reading, Barbara. They're just reading. Uh-huh.
Just read the card, George.
Mm-hmm.
But, 128, 8, 8 plays in 120 minutes, I think that's probably the best theatrical deal you can get.
Yeah, how fascinating is that?
And Barbara, just to remind the listeners of something you said earlier, it is a very brief run, correct?
Yes, we're just doing it the 3 weekends.
The 3 weekends. And you've had
the 7th. And we've done one already. So
we got 2 weeks left.
We're getting close.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Barbara,
that's wonderful.
You obviously have a passion for the theater, and do you want to do more of it? Do you do this type of theater, drama, comedy? Do you do musical theater?
I don't do musical theater only because I don't sing, which is a really good reason to keep me out of musical theater.
It never stopped George.
No, no.
You know, that's one of the reasons. One of the fun things I had doing Why We Have a Body is they did have a live band on stage, so which was accompanying us as we went along, but wasn't a musical. And we were very related to them during the course of the production, you know, the evening. So for me, it was like being in a musical without having to sing. I loved it.
Nice.
I adore music. I have no gift in it for it.
I'm 100% the same way. It's like I don't want to see the man behind the curtain. I want it to have the magic. I don't want to know how the cake is made. I just want to eat the cake. That's
exactly. And I know so well how it should be done that there's no point in opening my mouth in that regard at all.
Barbara,
and I have studied, you know, and fiddled around with it really just for vocal use for stage. But
right.
The thing is not going to, nobody should pay any money to see me, hear me rather, sing.
Barbara,
it's just a piece of my brain missing. I just don't have it. And it's sad. It's a loss. I really miss not having that, but I don't. But everything else, yes. Everything else in the universe that is theatrical, or film, television, all of it. In fact, I'm directing 2 pieces in the next 2 months, actually. I'm directing a piece for the Young Playwrights Festival for the Blank Theater.
The Blank Theater,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That'll be the 4th year I've done that, or maybe even the 5th, I'm not sure. It's a just wonderful thing to be involved with.
Absolutely.
And then there's a play that I spent some time in a staged reading. We actually heard it at the Blank, and we bought an option on it, and we're going to put it up at the Elephant July 13th through August 12th.
Mm-hmm.
5-week run, very interesting new play. 29-year-old girl writer who has such depth of understanding of people that we were just overwhelmed. 3-character play.
Fantastic.
And it's going to be exciting.
Oh, it sounds it.
Barbara,
sounds
George has a question he wanted to ask.
I just wondered
you.
If you...
George has a question. George can get a chance with me on here. I didn't know if we're supposed to be tandeming this, but hello, George.
Oh,
ask
it's
me
okay.
A question.
No, I just wondered if you worked in Chicago, or did you just take
no.
off for New York right away?
I took off for New York for a couple of reasons. First of all, I went to the University of Illinois. I discovered downstate. I discovered dance there. I started dancing. Came home, started dancing in Chicago, and every time I got a good teacher, they were leaving for New York.
Right.
So I jumped on a plane with my leotard and my rather uppity look because we were doing concert dance, I want you to know.
Yeah.
And went to study with Graham.
Wow.
So that's
wow.
what got me to New York.
Well, that worked out. That worked out well.
The explosion in Chicago that you had a part of hadn't happened yet theatrically. Everything
right.
was kind of in a dip.
Yeah,
When I came up.
It made sense to get to New York at that point.
There was no choice. Every time there was some good teacher, the next thing, you come to class next week and they were gone. I was brokenhearted.
Well, you know what? I do want to go on record as saying this. I want to thank you, first of all, for giving so many hours of incredible television to so many people who loved Mission Impossible, myself included. And you were a highlight of that. And your elegance and your beauty and your mystery about you, I guess, is a better way to say it. I was always fascinated by the show and every character that was on the show.
Mm-hmm,
and you've
mm-hmm.
continued to do that, of course, through film, and now you're doing it in the theater. So thank you for that, Cinnamon Carter.
Well, you're most welcome. As you can see, I'm having a really good time all around.
Well,
so I have no complaints about anything.
Well, so one more time, ladies and gentlemen, to see Barbara Bain in Lovestruck. You have that opportunity now through May 27th. performances are limited. It's on with the weekends, but you can still get there. And by doing so, you simply have to call 323-960-7787 or go online for, at your own convenience, 24/7, plays411.com/lovestruck. And that'll get you a ticket.
Thank you for joining us, Barbara. Thank you.
Now, does George get a chance to talk?
Oh, he's going to be talking with us after we hang up with
okay.
you.
Okay. Otherwise, I feel just terrible.
No. We got the whole rest of the hour with George. But thank you so
Lovely.
Much for taking
okay,
your day
Okay, my
off.
Best.
And,
okay.
Thank you so much, Ms. Bain.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Barbara.
Bye.
Bye now.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
What a doll. What a doll.
Very sweet.
She
lady.
Was always a doll backstage. You know, she was always just
well,
very
apparently
sweet.
So.
Just she wandering didn't... around. She had a mortar board and like a graduation thing wearing. And, you know, she was just always so lovely and chatty and friendly. And
is that what she wore to the theater? Or she was
I didn't want to talk about it. But, you know, she just, you know, she was something that she just sort of felt, so, you know, prepared. No, she.
Nice.
She but she was very much the grand dame there.
She's
she
a very classy lady.
Yeah, she is.
She was, you know, formerly a model at one point in her life, and that kind of transcended into the character that she played on Mission Impossible, too. She was supposed to be an actress and a
oh,
fashion
yeah?
model. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gone secret agent, as it were.
Yes, yes.
So we have to do a little bit to pay the bills here, right?
Let
as
us
you
do
say,
that
so
and do our arts calendar, and then we'll be happy to talk to George Wendt in mere moments.
Yes, indeed. So Panic Productions, Paul, presents the first musical by Tony Award winners Lynn Ahearns and Stephen Flaherty, creators of Ragtime, Seussical, and Once on This Island. Lucky Stiff is the story of a mild-mannered English shoe salesman who must take his uncle's corpse to Monte Carlo in order to inherit a $6 million estate, or it will literally go to the dogs, the Universal Dog Home of Brooklyn. But Harry Witherspoon is not only after... It's not the only one after the fortune, as a cast of quirky, even unsavory characters swoop down on Monte Carlo. Don't miss this always fun romp now on stage through June 17th at the Hillcrest Center for the Arts in Thousand Oaks, California. For tickets and further information, call 805-381-1246.
And speaking of musicals, Annie, now in its 35th anniversary year, 35, wow, yeah. opens this week at the Glendale Center Theater, which is also celebrating a milestone anniversary, its 65th consecutive year as the longest continuously operating theater in the United States. 11-year-old phenom Emma Howard portrays the title role of Annie with regional theater stars Peter Husman, starring as Oliver Daddy Warbucks, is it Dinelle Lay?
Dinelle.
Dinelle Lay as Miss Hannigan, Heather Dudenbostel as Grace Farrell, and a cast of 24. Don't miss Annie, one of America's most beloved family musicals, May 17th through June 30th at the beautiful 400-seat Glendale Center Theater. Tickets are available online at glendalecentertheater.com or by calling 818-244-8481.
And for further information, ladies and gentlemen, about any productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts Live Arts Calendar, visit performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week.
He was a fixture on television for 11 seasons at a Boston-based drinking establishment where everybody knew his name, Norm Peterson, accountant by day, barfly by night. He has since conquered Broadway with more cheers in both Hairspray the Musical and Elf the Musical, and at present, he's wowing Los Angeles audiences in the critically acclaimed award-winning musical Reanimator at the Hayworth Theater. Please welcome George Wendt.
Stop. Oh, they stopped so abruptly.
Yes. Well, they're well trained. So thank you so much for joining us.
Sure.
On behalf of Michael and myself, we're delighted to have you here for our 100th show.
Did you like how I worked in that little copy there on George's intro? Concord Broadway with even more cheers?
Yes, I did.
Did you like that?
I did. That was subtle like a freight train. Yeah.
Subtle. But we were talking... he and I, when you had stepped out of the studio there for a moment.
In my technical panic.
His debut on Broadway was in the play Art.
Oh, yeah. Really? The
which
one
I was
that we
telling
just
him
saw?
That you had seen.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah. That's a wonderful play. I really
it
enjoyed
was.
That. Which
it,
of the three?
I was Ivan. I was the gent who, I wasn't the guy who bought the painting. I wasn't the guy who hated the painting. I was the guy in the middle trying to keep peace between the two fellas.
The guy who has that killer monologue.
Yes.
That long,
epic
monologue that just, yeah.
Yes. On Broadway, I did it with Judd Hirsch as Mark, the crabby guy who hated the the piece, and Joe Morton as Serge, who bought the piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in London, in the West End, I did it with Stacey Keach as Mark and the late David Dukes as Serge.
Oh, yes. David Dukes, great actor. Yeah. Great actor. And Stacey Keach, my friend Ted, just toured with Stacey Keach. Ted Koch, phenomenal actor out of New York, played with Stacey Keach in the tour of the Frost Nixon.
Wow.
Stacey Keach played Nixon in that. Just wonderful performance. We got to bring up what we mentioned earlier, just so the audience knows what we're talking about.
Oh, yes.
The fact that George's hands and arms are blood red.
Yeah.
And we thought that you just spent too much time in the sun before arriving at the show today, but tell them what the truth of it all is.
Well, we had a show last night, and, you know, I have showered and washed repeatedly, but it's really hard to get the stage blood off of our bodies, and it's really noticeable in the second show on Saturday night.
Oh, right.
Because it's just impossible to clean up between shows on Saturdays. We have a 7 p.m. and a 10:30 p.m. on Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
And that 10:30 show on Saturday night is quite raucous. A lot of people come dressed up as the characters. And,
oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's really fun.
It's found a life.
Well, because the film itself has such a cult following.
Yes,
and you're
it does.
And you're just seeing the benefit of that at the live performance.
Yes, yes.
Oh, so it's like almost like it sounds Rocky Horror-esque.
It is. You know, it's not the piece isn't all that much like it musically or anything, but it does have a cult fan base that dresses up like characters, and they enjoy getting bloody and all that.
So there's more of you that are facing
oh,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone.
Oh, everyone. The stage is just covered with blood at the end of the show.
Wow. Yeah. One would think, though, that, you know, if that were part of the production, that they would come up with a solution to...
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, and our director, Stuart Gordon, who also directed the film, Reanimator, you know, he'll look at us between shows and say, hey, you've got to scrub that off. I'm like, yeah, you've got to cut back on the red dye number two. You know, we can't get that stuff off that quick.
Yeah. Because it's just the classic, stage blood. It's Karo syrup and food coloring.
We use our own concoction, but it's along those lines. Oh. Yeah, the classic stuff. And it goes all over the audience as well.
Oh, really?
So yeah, it's like... the first three rows are designated as splash zone.
Oh,
and,
really?
Splatter zone, whatever. So... Yeah.
So it's like it's Rocky Horror meets Gallagher and gore and
well, you know, the titular character who plays the character of Herbert West, the reanimator, he gets strangled by the intestine, the large intestine of his nemesis, and it pumps blood, you know, all over the stage and into the audience throughout his final song. It's hilarious.
Oh, it sounds it. It sounds
wow.
It. Yeah.
Wow.
So now, without giving too much away and without prohibiting any ticket sales, can you give us sort of a synopsis of the storyline?
Yeah.
You prefer not to?
Yeah. Or? No. A young medical student. It's based on a short story, a series of short stories by H.P. Lovecraft, and he's a renowned fantasy horror genre writer from the 20s and 30s, and. It's about a young medical student named Herbert West who discovers a serum that can bring the dead back to life. And he hasn't quite perfected it. So when he does bring the dead back to life, you know, there's some dire consequences with some of the zombies. And I play the dean of the medical school where he's doing his research. And I become a victim. I get killed by one of the zombies.
Okay.
And then they bring me back to life because I'm fresh, freshly killed. And it's a lot of fun.
Freshly dead, much like in what is it, Young Frankenstein.
Oh yeah.
With the you know, 6 months dead and 3 months dead and then freshly dead and Marty Feldman's head right on the thing. Right. I ain't got nobody. Useless stuff stuck in my head. Remember my own phone number.
That's not useless.
No. Just before we forget, let's get this information out there. The previews for this have already taken place, obviously. They were in April, but The show is Thursday, Fridays, and Sundays at 8, and Saturdays, as George said, are 7 and 10:30. Admission is anywhere from $35 to $60, and reservations 323-960-4442. That's 323-960-4442. And also online ticketing, plays411.com/reanimator. That plays411.com/reanimator. But, you know, it sounds like I have this theater company in town myself called Sea Glass Theater, and one of the things in our mission statement was the market is so difficult out there for live theater, especially in Los Angeles, because everyone has to drive everywhere and, you know, can't do a cab or... But one of the things we put in our mission statement was event theater, really creating an event and something that would get people not to rent the video and come out. And the Reanimator sounds like exactly that. It sounds like almost more of a party than a play.
Yeah. Well, our director, Stuart Gordon, was a founder of the legendary Organic Theater Company in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the alumni you might know, Joe Mantegna, Dennis Franz, Meshach Taylor.
William Macy was with them, too,
Actually, Macy was in the same time frame as well. But he was St. Nicholas Theater with David Mamet and Stephen Schachter. But so there was a lot going on then. But the Organics mission statement, if you will, was always to bring the action. They thought, why is theater so boring? And these were when they were just young punks, 20 years old or something. And why is theater so boring? And it's because people, or to them, you know what I mean? To the TV generation.
Right.
Because people would... the action would happen off stage and people would come on stage and talk about what happened.
Right.
And Stuart wanted to bring the action on stage. Right. And so that was the sort of driving force behind a lot of their productions. And certainly there's plenty of action in this show. It's and the music and lyrics are just hilarious.
Is the soundtrack, or rather the cast album, is it available?
No, we haven't gone that far.
Oh, you should.
Well, it was just a waiver show last year in L.A., and now it's a proper equity show, and we're bringing it to New York for the NIMF, the New York Musical Festival, and then on to Edinburgh in August.
And you did the production last year,
yes.
And that was the one that won like 6 LA Weekly Awards or something.
Yeah, and it won a few Ovation and LA Drama Critics Circle Awards
well.
Yeah. So you know, I suppose down the road, if we keep having success, there will be an opportunity for a cast album.
Oh yeah, if I remember correctly, the Hayworth is not a huge venue, is it?
No, 200 seats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No. So you get up close and personal get splattered.
Yes. That's the bonus, isn't it? Everyone wants to cash in on something exciting like that, right?
Yeah.
You're lucky that it hasn't gone beyond your hands and your arms.
Right? It gets on my body as well.
Oh, it does?
Yeah,
as well.
My face. Yeah.
But I don't notice it really too much on your face.
Yeah, because the blood pack that normally goes in my mouth when I'm it gets slipped into my mouth when I'm laying on a gurney. By another cast member, he couldn't find it. It was put off stage, and he was supposed to palm it and, you know, put his hand over my face, and so I'd missed the. I don't have blood on my face today.
Do you normally after the show?
Because
I would think.
Oh yeah, all
I would
over
think,
my face,
though,
and it runs down my chest. And,
but if you had to put makeup on first for your face, wouldn't
we
that
don't.
Be?
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a boy. It's a 200 seat room, you know. There's not.
But that,
you know,
might prevent
they can see
it
you.
Seeping through into your pores. Do you think?
Yeah. Then I'd have to do it all over my body, and lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
Besides, it's a pretty red.
It is a pretty
it
red,
is.
And
it
the
is.
Nails
flattering.
Are especially attractive.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you some questions, if I may, about your and I'm sure you've had this ask of you many times, George, but your tenure on Cheers and what a remarkable experience that must have been. I think you're one of the few people, as I was reading, that did absolutely every single episode of the series.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably about five of us who did, or maybe four, that did every show.
It was like 271
Ooh, you
episodes?
Know what? No, there's probably only three. Me, Ted, and Rhea would probably be the only three. Ratzenberger did 274 of the 275.
Damn it. Yeah. Okay.
Episode 2, he was not in.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then, of course, Nick Colasanto died after the second year. And,
right.
And Woody came on after the second year, and Kelsey came on after the second year, BB, et cetera.
What a phenomenal...
And Shelley left after 5, and Kirstie...
Oh, she was there for 5? She was there for 5?
The first 5, and then Kirstie did the last 6.
Wow. Oh, I never would have thought, in thinking back at it, that it was... that the post-Shelley Long time was actually longer than the first part. But you're saying there was 6 seasons after she left?
Yeah, it was 11 years.
11 total.
Shelley did 5, yeah.
And, you know, I think it's one of the few shows where that can be on television that long. And when it has replacements, had its replacements, they were just as wonderfully interesting as the person they were replacing.
Yeah.
Because they didn't try to parrot them.
Exactly.
They tried to, they just created new people. Did not try to perpetuate what already existed, you know.
I mean, I am a huge fan of Shelley Long's. I think she's a brilliant actress, and certainly Kirstie Alley on that show was very much the same. And I was disappointed that Shelley kind of strayed away after television and went into film, some good films and some, other types of films, but that we don't see more of her, you know, now.
I think you're gonna. She's been back in a pretty big way.
On Modern Family.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but I'm just saying there was a whole kind of period of time where she didn't have a lot of presence on television and in films, but because I think she's just an amazing talent. And somebody else that I've never seen on a theater stage, I don't know whether she has done theater, but...
You know, I think she's planning on doing some theater this year.
Yeah?
I think so.
Well, she should. She is a delight.
She is. One of the things, George, that I've heard you say before, and it was so nice to hear, because obviously you're so associated with the character, and when people embrace a character so fully as they did Norm Peterson, you know, they start to attribute the great zingers and the one-liners and that great line that you always had that was timed to that cross in front of the bar that was so, you know, comedically, rhythmically perfect. And you had been asked about that in the past, and you were constantly calling out and naming the writers and really recognizing the writers on that show. But there's so many people who don't. And I don't mean on Cheers, but I just mean in general. So many actors are just immediate to be, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. But it was so nice to hear an actor really, you know, recognize the writing on that show is just, it's like a yardstick.
Yeah.
It's really a yardstick for just perfect comic economy. It's just, there's no fat on that show. It's just so lean and... just really, really put together well.
Yeah, I will accept the compliment on their behalf. they were just top-notch. It was such a thrill to be working with
when
them.
When did you first realize as a company of actors on this television series that it was going to become what it became? I mean, you must have had some.
Because initially it started very weak. I mean, the first season was one of the lowest rated shows, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were last. Dead last.
Dead last. Yeah. Wow.
Well, I knew, I had a pretty good feeling that it was going to be a good show because of the fellas involved, Glenn Charles and Les Charles and Jim Burrows. They had distinguished to themselves on Taxi before Cheers. And, they also were involved with Mary Tyler Moore shows in general. I don't know if they were on Mary, but they were certainly in the stable, Grant Tinker's stable of folks.
And a lot of the subsequent ones like Rhoda and Phyllis.
Yeah, those sorts of things. And and then Taxi, which was, of course, Jim Brooks and, may have been others. I don't know if Stan Daniels and Ed Weinberger were from Mary as well.
Yeah.
So that was not an MTM show. It was a Paramount show, Taxi. But anyway, so the long story short, I had a feeling it was going to be a good show. But the whole rest of it, you know, how it's going to take off and catch on, none of that happened. I mean, we were well received critically, but we did come in last place in the ratings. We had a we were one of the many variables to have success like that is the structure at the network. And Grant Tinker had just assumed power, and his lieutenant in charge of programming was Brandon Tartikoff, the late Brandon Tartikoff. And so between the two of them, they had a mandate basically from the shareholders of NBC to put what they perceived to be quality programming on the air and leave it there until they find an audience. Mm-hmm. So he had Family Ties, and which was Gary David Goldberg, another MTM product, and of course the St. Elsewhere MTM show, and Hill Street Blues, and so he put all these shows on and just left them there. And he could get away with it because they had been in last place for a decade or more, and this was the new regime. So we really lucked out. And then by year three, I want to say, Bill Cosby came on at 8 o'clock, and that was an immediate smash hit right out of the box. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it was just nothing but...
Oh, clear. And that was your lead-in?
Well, Family Ties came after. It was Cosby was at 8, and I believe Family Ties was 8:30. We were at 9.
Okay.
So, but the whole night just benefited.
Through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just one of those things. That's the way it used to be, you know. People didn't change their channel they started.
I think people are really astounded. Just hearing you say that, I think people are really astounded, especially people who aren't or are only tangentially related in the industry, which is so hard to find out here. But so many factors in whether or not a show becomes successful. Well, one of the best examples of something that would rarely happen now is giving something enough time to find an audience.
Yeah.
Now it's just sort of by the third episode, if you're not pulling the numbers, they pull the plug on you.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that unlike when Cheers first hit the air, there were not 700 channels.
True.
There's just so many.
You know,
something
to do.
Market is so glutted, you know.
Yeah, and YouTube and everything else.
Yeah,
you know,
all the other things you're up against.
You can watch whatever you damn well please whenever you want.
Whenever you want, yeah. Like, say, downloading a radio program and not listening live, but
there you go. They make it a little too easy sometimes. Huh?
They do.
And now I have to ask you one other thing, too. We're getting close to the end of the show here, but your wife in life also became a character on the show at one point. I mean, yeah. She was Cliff's Halloween date, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. She played Tinkerbell to Cliff's Ponce de Leon.
Right.
It was a costume episode.
And then she became the voice on the telephone?
Yeah, she was the voice of Vera.
Voice of Vera,
yes.
Your wife.
Yeah.
And Vera remained never seen all the way to the end.
Never
right?
seen.
Except there was a cake, wasn't there? A bit with
a
cake?
Pie. She got a pie in the face. It was my wife didn't have to show up for that one. my wife is Bernadette Briquette. We'll give her a name. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was Rebecca Soliday, who was Shelley Long's stand-in.
Okay.
Years and years, yeah. And she took the pie in the face bravely on that one.
You mentioned earlier that John Ratzenberger was not in the second episode, but if I remember those early episodes, the Cliff Clavin character was—he was just sort of a peripheral. He got his role got larger and larger.
Yeah.
Because initially he was just sort of one of a gaggle of bar people. You were more pronounced right off.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I was a series regular from the get-go. John was added, but he was like sort of a recurring role. But the only one he missed was number two. And there's a great story about John's audition. He went in for my role, and he could tell it wasn't going too well, and so he had this background in improvisation in the UK, and he had just arrived in the States, and so he was about to, everyone's very polite, thank you very much, thank you, and he's literally got one foot out the door. He's got the door open, takes a half a step out, he pops his head back in and says, do you have a bar know-it-all? And they go, no, what do you mean? And he started improvising as the Cliff Clavin character, and they wrote it in. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
There's,
wow.
What are the chances, right?
Yeah.
Because any of us who have spent any time on a bar stool know that that guy exists, and he's
exactly.
very, very common. Very,
something
very
to
common.
Think about at your audition.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
It was fate, that was for sure.
Yeah. We only have like a minute and a half left, George, but we always like to end the hour with people sharing a great onstage mishap or performance mishap. Yeah. You got a quick one for us?
Yeah. Yeah, I recommend this to everybody in the performing arts. When I was a young actor at Second City in Chicago, I was booed off stage in an improv scene. Literally booed off the stage. It was me and a couple other folks doing a tasteless scene about priests and nuns and sex. And there was some kind of, you know, religious folks in the audience, and they started booing. And, you know, out of an audience of 300, there was only about five or six of them, but it was pretty bad. And they would not let up. Boo, you're boring people. Get off the stage. Boo, boo. Every time we'd go, boy, those neighbors are noisy. And we'd shut the imaginary window, and nothing worked.
Nothing
and
worked.
Eventually we just sat there and took it, and the lights came out, and it was just, and I charged off stage and threw off whatever I was wearing, and I was running for the stage door, and our producer, Bernard Solins, he burst into the backstage area. He was in the house. He burst it backstage, and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm leaving. I was never going to come back." I was just so mortified. And he goes, "Get back out there. You affected those people." It was rubbish, you know. It was a terrible scene. I didn't affect them at all. But anyway, it does give you a baseline for your career, having been booed off stage. I recommend it.
Yeah. Because
it's a little something to fall back on.
Because a heckler is one thing. Because it's back and forth. But people, an unrelenting boo that just removes you off the point, that is...
Yeah.
Oh, that is gives you a baseline is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, one more time, ladies and gentlemen, to see George Wendt live on stage here in Los Angeles in the Musical of the Year, Reanimator the Musical, which has won many awards, including LA Weekly's Distinguished Awards. Simple. You go down to the Hayworth Theater, and it is playing from now until May 27th for tickets. July 8th. July 8th. Thank you for the correction. And that is reservations 323-960-4442 or online plays411.com.
And we are out of time, but it's been a great 100th episode. And
thank you,
sir. Mr. Wendt, a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed a pleasure.
And Michael, here's to 100 more, eh?
Yes, indeed.
All right.
I hope so.
I'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.